The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Donald Trump will not appear on the Colorado primary ballot after the bombshell decision from the state Supreme Court that cites that provision in the 14th Amendment of the Constitution barring anyone from running for election if they've taken part in an insurrection.
Say that I believe the Colorado opinion is right. It's a stress test of our Constitution. I think it's a beautifully written opinion.
This is not a crazy thing for a democracy to do.
And Colorado obviously knew what they were doing when they put this case together.
Nights ago when Colorado kicked Trump off the ballot. The nation is still processing their Supreme Court's ruling, and Americans seem to like the strange taste of consequences because, according to a new poll, 54% of Americans approve of Colorado kicking Trump off the ballot.
But I think Colorado and Maine have it right.
Donald Trump did engage in serious conduct. There is a solid basis for them to adjudicate that he violated the 14th Amendment.
The 14th Amendment. And when you go through the issues one by one by one, and the way lawyers are supposed to, his case looks terrible.
Because the Colorado Supreme Court, I think, got it right. There's a right legal answer to these questions, and it begins and ends with the idea that someone who is an adjudicated insurrectionist, as Donald Trump was, has no business serving in our government.
A model of judicial decision-making. It is unassailable in every respect. The Supreme Court of Colorado issued what I have characterized as a masterful judicial opinion. It is unassailable and irrefutable in every single respect. I believe that based on the objective law, which in this instance is Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, there is no other decision that the Supreme Court could make.
A Fox News alert and reading this. The U.S. Supreme Court rules in favor of former President Donald Trump in his appeal of a Colorado ballot disqualification. That applies to Colorado. In all likelihood, it will apply to other states as well.
And you are coming on the air with some breaking news from the Supreme Court about former President Donald Trump. The High Court just said moments ago that Mr. Trump can stay on this year's presidential ballot in Colorado after that state barred him from its Republican primary.
And the Republican frontrunner is now permitted to run for president, not only in Colorado, but across all 50 states. The justices here in a unanimous decision rejecting Colorado's effort to ban him under the Constitution's so-called insurrection clause right now. But other states had tried to ban him from the ballot, including Maine and Illinois. With the court doing this right now, those essentially will also be wiped away.
And you thought last week was a good week for Donald Trump? This week, we start off with this breaking news from just an hour or two ago. The unassailable case coming out of Colorado, it gets smacked down by the Supreme Court 9-0. When does the radical left ever get smacked down unanimously on the Supreme Court? This is another massive gift for Donald Trump in an election year. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. We are back and fresh and ready for another week, back from our college campout, a delightful 3 or 4 days. Not too far from here in central Oklahoma, but just an enjoyable weekend through and through. You can get to the live video stream of this show at trumpetdaily.com or go over to the Rumble channel, rumble.com/trumpetdaily. I appreciate our producer, Sam Livingston, subbing in on Thursday's show. And we got quite a lot of feedback on Friday's show, our sit-down interview with Brent Noctegal, the assistant curator of the Kingdom of David and Solomon Discovered exhibit that's open right now, even as we speak. It's open at Armstrong Auditorium here on our beautiful headquarters campus. A lot of you commented on the opening, the cold opening of that show with all of the Imperial Choraliers singing Hatikva. Beautiful, beautiful opening to the show. If you want to see that, that's available at both the websites I just mentioned. And again, something that will really bring a smile to your face. And by the way, quite a change of pace from what you're used to hearing during the cold open of this show. But now I was traveling down to the campout on Wednesday, and we hear about the Supreme Court taking up the immunity case after basically an appeals court ruled against Donald Trump. I think generally speaking, the Supremes don't take it up unless they're prepared to reverse a decision. And so the talking heads, you'll see it a little bit later, but they exploded on Wednesday evening that the Supreme Court would even consider taking this up, and how that this might delay Jack Smith's case. That's Wednesday as we're heading down to the campout. This week, it's the Supreme Court smacking down the Colorado Supreme Court. I mean, Amos 7 is really coming into play. Early on in this fake presidency, you had to wonder, will the Supreme Court really begin to give Donald Trump a boost? Well, they are now. That's for sure. 9-0. And by the way, you saw the first part of that cold open. Before, that was from a few months ago when Colorado ruled that he's to be taken off the ballot. And then it's followed by this morning's breaking news. What does that say about the regime media? All of these talking heads, they're just stooges for the regime. They're shills for the regime. Here they are going on and on about how unassailable this case is. There's no way it could ever get reversed at the Supreme Court level. And then it gets reversed 9-0? Is this for real? Yes, it is. Happened earlier this morning. CNBC says the Supreme Court on Monday tossed out a Colorado court ruling that barred Donald Trump from appearing on the state's Republican presidential primary ballot because of a provision in the Constitution related to people who engage in insurrection. It says here, the unanimous decision, I can't emphasize that enough, because if Brown and Kagan, if they're going along with this decision, you see just how foolish, how much of a sham this was from the beginning. That these radical leftist judges on the Supreme Court, even they ruled against Colorado. That's incredible. It says here, during oral arguments in the case on February 8, many of the court's 9 justices appeared skeptical. And it quotes Kagan a little bit later on. After Colorado barred Trump from the ballot, 2 other states, Maine and Illinois, did the same. Maine did it. I think Illinois did it just last week. And this decision evidently is going to overturn all of that. Can't do it. You can't remove Donald Trump from the ballot. So another blow to the radical left in their ongoing lawfare against Donald Trump. And it's been going on for years. I mean, it's picked up the pace here in the last couple of years, but maybe I can get into that a little bit later. In any event, it says that section says that no person, well, in any event, a ruling in November, a Denver district judge ruled that Trump could appear on Colorado's ballot despite her belief that he had engaged in insurrection by inciting the January 6, 2021 riot, they call it, on the Capitol. So then it goes on to talk about the Supreme Court in Colorado overturning that, casting Donald Trump aside. And now here we are at the Supreme Court level. And you see the heads again exploding this morning. All these regime media talking heads, Like I say, this exposes them. They're not really interested in helping you understand the details of the case and whether or not it is based on the Constitution. They are. They're just parroting the regime's talking points. That's what they're there to do. And to tell you that you're to believe us, the regime media, because we tell you this, it must be true. These people, they are exactly the same as Peter Strzok, as Andy McCabe, as Jim Comey, all of these persecutors of Donald Trump. They're all the same. They think the same way. And they're furious right now because they don't have control of the Supreme Court. They're furious. This is from Keith Olbermann. He says the Supreme Court has betrayed democracy. So another attack on democracy because of the 9-0 vote. Its members, including Jackson, Kagan, and Sotomayor, have proved themselves inept at reading comprehension. Reading comprehension? I think two of those women he just mentioned are minorities. I mean, this sounds a little bit racist. Are you saying that Jackson and Sotomayor, they have trouble reading? This is Keith Olbermann. He's a commentator, or he fancies himself as such, an unhinged one at that. And collectively, the court has shown itself to be corrupt and illegitimate. It must be dissolved, says Keith Olbermann. The Supreme Court must be dissolved. And these are the same people that say Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. This is not coming from an individual who is sane, who's thinking clearly. He's got it exactly backwards. Look at how the Democrats abuse the legal system. They use it to attack their political opponents. Every honest person who is examining this case out of Colorado, they knew it was a gimmick. They knew it was an attempt to use the legal system to keep Donald Trump from being on the ballot, to prevent him from winning. They go on and on, as I say, saying he's the insurrectionist, even as they carry out these very anti-democratic attacks on their political opponent. Listen to, just to make the point about this lawfare going all the way back to even Donald Trump's presidency, and certainly after the stolen election, look at the way the courts were used. Not to expose the corruption, not to expose the steal, but rather to cover up the steal. I mean, you were guilty of a crime for even questioning the election. That's what January 6th is built around, that principle, that concept. This is Donald Trump from a rally in Richmond, Virginia, over the weekend, clip 9.
We won twice. We won big in 2016, but we won much bigger with millions and millions more votes in 2020. It was a rigged election. It was a rigged election. The votes came in, then they added a lot of votes to it. You saw it. It was a rigged, totally rigged election. They know it, too. The only thing they don't want people talking about that election. Even Fox. Fox is afraid to talk about it. They're all afraid to talk about it. They don't mind going after the people looking into the rigging and knowing what happened. But they never go after the people that rigged the election, the biggest single threat. And we're going to stop it because we have no choice as a country. They cheat. They're dirty players. And we're not going to let it happen anymore. We're not going to let it happen. They got away with something that has essentially destroyed our country.
They go after those investigating the elections, even the courts. They don't go after the rigging, those that rigged the election, and they did it in so many different ways, as we've covered on this program. As I said earlier, you thought last week was a big week for Donald Trump. It certainly was at the Supreme Court. Wednesday, as I say, that's when they take it up, the immunity case that's going to derail. It's going to derail Jack Smith's case, because I mean that's the most important one, because it's in D.C. Nikki Haley, by the way, won her first primary. She won the swamp. D.C. We'll get to that a little bit later. But first, this was the media freakout. Fox News put this together. The media freakout over the Supreme Court last Wednesday deciding that it would take up the immunity case. Clip two.
The cravenness of the court is evident in what they are doing with the pacing here.
It is frustrating to me that the idea that the U.S. Supreme Court is going to be delaying this trial.
It's a bad look for them.
Yeah.
It's a very
to take it
to have taken us.
Yeah.
It is an unmistakable sign from the MAGA majority of the Trump-created court that they are with him.
There is a lot tonight to be pessimistic about.
Some of the justices simply want to assist Donald Trump in delaying the resolution of this case in the hope of pushing his trial off past the election.
I am beyond terrified, Nicole, right now for our country.
We can't put all of our hopes in the Supreme Court. The people need to be engaged and aroused at this point to demand that there be justice.
So there they are reacting to the Supreme Court's decision to take up the case. And many are saying it, you know, if it happens here in a month or two, then the opinion comes out at the end of the summer. And it basically pushes everything back in Jack Smith's attack on Donald Trump. This is from the National Review. It says the court's critics argue that there's nothing to be decided here because the immunity case is so cut and dried against Trump. You see, it's unassailable. It's open shot. No questions asked. Just take our word for it. Says, but there's a legitimate case that even if the court circuit court's bottom line ruling is correct, its reasoning is flawed and the court shouldn't let it stand. The National Review says more broadly, it's not the fault of the court that Jack Smith brought a convoluted, legally novel case against Trump that was inevitably going to raise fresh questions of law, or that he had unrealistic expectations of jamming it through the system without anyone pausing to consider the fraught, consequential underlying legal matters. It says, but reality is less emotionally satisfying and politically convenient than a lurid tale of a dark conspiracy. These people are not grounded in reality. They go on and on with the commentary that this is unassailable. Of course, it passes right on through. But then you get to the Supreme Court finally. And now the Supremes, I mean, they're having to rule on the upcoming election, at least. They should have ruled on the last election, given all the fraud, but they didn't look into it. Or they said it lacked standing, or whatever it was. Listen to Jesse Waters. I thought this was a pretty good observation. I think it was the next day after he saw all the talking heads explode on Wednesday, and then he said this the next day on Fox, clip three.
So last night was election night for them.
Yeah.
And they lost, Greg.
Mm-hmm.
You could see the emotion because they have put all of their eggs in this basket of lawfare. And now they're realizing that the judges of the Supreme Court aren't on their schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're realizing that Joe Biden might have to win this himself. That's what you saw last night. Them realizing that this is going to be a free and fair election to a certain extent, where it's going to be mano a mano, and you're not going to have judges and lawyers screwing around with everything. Because they've been trying to persuade a handful of judges instead of 150 million voters. That's what they do. That's why they get so hysterical when you have Supreme Court nominations. Mm. That's why they go to the mattresses for someone like Kavanaugh. Remember, that's how their agenda happens. It's all in the courts. It's very rarely legislatively. So when you have someone like Trump come in and beat Hillary, those were Hillary's three Supreme Court nominations. That would have changed the future of the country. That would have fundamentally transformed America. They don't have that now. And now they're freaking out about it.
They don't have control, you see. It's just like my father has said in America Under Attack. They've put all their eggs into this basket, and now they're seeing it's not going so well, and they're furious. And they're being exposed as the insurrectionists that they are, anti-democracy, anti-republic. They hate the Constitution. They want to shred it to pieces. And you can be sure they hate the fact that Donald Trump appointed three of those nine justices, as Jesse points out there. That was supposed to be Hillary. Hillary was supposed to appoint those three. Here we are, Amos 7, as I say, coming into full view. We're seeing it right at the center of all that's transpiring this year, this most important year, the war in 24. As we keep saying, Citizen Free Press, this was I think, something they posted Friday, or maybe it was Thursday night, but this is a news gathering site, basically, like Drudge Report. They'll make the witty headline, but the link basically takes you to the original article, and that's the content that they want to draw your attention to. In this case, though, at Citizen Free Press, I mean, there was a little bit of commentary Thursday or Friday last week that he doesn't typically get into. I think the guy's name is Kane. But you can see there in the red, it's probably too small for you to read. It's too small for me to read in my notes as well. So I'll pull it up on the screen here. It says, Trump leads Biden in every state in a new Bloomberg poll of seven swing states. He's leading 50-41 in North Carolina. Trump leads by 6 points in Arizona, Nevada, Georgia, Pennsylvania. Trump leads by 4 in Wisconsin. He leads by 2 in Michigan. There's nothing Democrats can do. The 2024 reckoning is coming. There's nothing they can do. You're just seeing more and more commentary like this, even from ones that aren't necessarily commentators. I'll get to another one here in just a second. Here's another, the purple there, right in the middle. It says, this is called a MAGA winning streak. Take a moment to consider the last 5 days. SCOTUS delays Jack Smith, January 6th fever dream until after the election. Judge Cannon in the process of delaying documents case. Fannie and Nathan likely to be removed from the case, delaying and perhaps ending the RICO persecution of Trump. Ronna Romney out of our lives. She's the head of the RNC. And then Mitch McConnell. This was announced last week as well, that he was going to step aside as the Senate leader. Right now, the minority leader. Stepping aside, it says here, and blowout Bloomberg poll today showing Trump leading in all seven states. Then you get down to the green section where it says victories still to come include SCOTUS denying Colorado and the 14th Amendment challenge that happened just today. SCOTUS likely to decide with Fisher versus the U.S. and throw out the cooked-up Enron January 6 obstruction charge against Trump and 300 fellow political dissidents. And that pretty much takes the teeth out of Jack Smith's case once the Supremes vote the way that many believe that they will. It says, and then the ultimate victory in November, we must turn out the vote in numbers never seen and only imagined in the warped skulls of career political consultants. 100 million votes for Trump. I said 100 million votes for Trump. It's an unstoppable force, say other commentators. A tidal wave. Listen to Kane, the Citizen Free Press guy, as he discussed these many headlines, or not headlines, but a little bit of commentary that he put on his site. This was from a Bannon show, I believe, on Friday, clip one.
For MAGA, I have never seen your stack like this ever. It's an incredible day, and I want you to explain to the audience what happened to inspire Kane, who curates the news 7 days a week, 365 days a year, or this year, 366 days. Tell us what inspired you to put up the stack as you have it today.
When you do, you want to know what caused it? Because I felt like the stack was weak all day, right? Because I was sucked into the vortex of the Fannie Willis hearing and the Judge Cannon hearing in Fort Pierce, right? And if I'm sucked into the vortex of something, what does that mean? It means there are fewer headlines, fewer links, right? And you see the stack today turned into sort of I was just linking, because nobody had the highlights. I'm watching this stuff in real time. So I'm just linking my thoughts on what I'm seeing, right? So I'll finish this up. So after watching Adam Abate, I couldn't handle it. I shut him off. And I just started thinking about how we're winning. And that's the purple headline, is the things in the last 5 days, our victories. And then the green headline is what's to come. And, you know, and that's it. And then you call me and I'm here. Well, it's a feeling. I tell you, you don't see these things coming, and they happen naturally and organically, but we've been getting victory after victory too. It was a fantastic experience. And why am I positive? Well, you know, all these things are coming into line. Although, again, I don't know if this part came out about Jack Smith saying in Fort Pierce this morning that they are not in violation of that DOJ 60-day rule. So I thought that is important. So we got to be aware, you know, this isn't completely smooth sailing, although I think Judge Cannon has explained that that trial is so complicated and there's so much that has to be done pre-trial. So I do not believe that trial will begin before the election. So I don't want people to get too positive. But if they go to the stack and read the purple and green headlines, you'll see how I feel. And I think we can get to a 90 to 100 million votes. We got to fight like we've never fought, but victory is at hand. That's what I'm saying. There's something positive out there. Things are turning our way. And if we all work, we can get this done.
100 million votes. I mean, to me, as popular as Donald Trump is, that seems unlikely, but you never know. His popularity continues to rise. And I think one point you could make in support of his estimate or his guess is just seeing the way the talking heads explode. The ones that say these cases are unassailable. When they fall apart, when they break down like it is in Georgia, Fannie and Nathan, or in the D.C. court. That's where they get the lopsided juries from. You can see why they are so furious over their lawfare strategy, just completely breaking apart in front of our eyes. God, as we've said before, God has just led them into a masterful trap. And every step along the way, they're being exposed. And every step along the way, it's as if they're handing Donald Trump another gift in an election year. Even in the primaries, there were actual headlines that said, hey, Nikki Haley disrupted Donald Trump's run. And then you click on the link and find out, oh, she won D.C.? Oh, you mean the swamp? That's another gift to the bad orange man. He doesn't want the swamp. And by the way, you look at the numbers, only 2,000 people voted. In a city of 700,000, only 2,000 voted for the Republicans in the Republican primary. That was something that Mark Elias, he's the Democrat operative, he said in a city of 700,000, Donald Trump got 676 votes in a GOP primary. That's a tough jury pool. And someone commented, you just admitted Trump can't get an impartial jury in D.C. He's spot on with that response. Of course he can't get an impartial jury. That's why so many of these things are going to be ultimately settled at the Supreme Court level. Donald Trump tweeted out or said this on Truth Social regarding Haley's victory in D.C., this is, as we played for you last week, it's another bad sign for Trump. Haley takes D.C. Trump said, I purposely stayed away from D.C., the D.C. vote, because it is the swamp with very few delegates and no upside. Haley spent all of her time, money, and effort there. Over the weekend, we won Missouri, Idaho, and Michigan. Big numbers. Complete destruction of a very weak opponent. It says the really big numbers will come on Super Tuesday, and that's tomorrow, of course. Also, he says we're way up on crooked Joe Biden. So Trump, in only the way Trump can say it, says why? She got D.C. fine. She deserves it. She's a swamp creature herself, is what he's saying. And then he wins all these other states. And he'll probably win right across the board tomorrow. Look at MSNBC. This is pretty brutal. But they're commenting on a statement that Nikki Haley made where she gestured and basically pretended that there was this huge audience there of patriots supporting her movement. This is clip 4.
Let me ask you, Melissa, about Nikki Haley for a moment. She spoke with the media after her rally in North Carolina, saying that she has a movement of supporters behind her. I don't know where that is, but she certainly believes it. Watch this.
This is a movement, and to have an incumbent like Donald Trump not getting 40% in the early states, to have an incumbent like Donald Trump where he's campaigned in Michigan for 8 years, I campaigned in 2 days and got 30%, there is a movement here. And if you see, this is not an angry crowd. This is a patriotic crowd. This is a crowd that wants an America their kids can be proud of.
I certainly want to believe that there are Republicans in this country who do not subscribe to Donald Trump. And yes, that is to some extent true. But is what Nikki Haley describing there accurate? Does she have a point, or is it wishful political thinking on her part?
Well, the optics aren't great for her. She's gesturing to what appears to be a crowd of no one.
If in case it was a little muffled, that lady's response there, she said the optics aren't great for her. She's gesturing to what appears to be a crowd of no one. Quite the movement. There is no movement in her campaign. Nothing. And there's no one even there in the crowd. Not unlike what we've come to expect from a Joe Biden rally. Same thing. Same thing. No one shows up. No one showed up in 2020. The only thing that showed up in 2020 were the fake ballots. This is the morning meltdown. Comparing, and they're on this, they're going to stay on this. The worst Joe Biden looks in every respect, they're going to stay on this and say, no, he's perfect. The one that you really have to be scared of is Donald Trump. Scared in the sense that he will destroy democracy. But listen to this comparison, clip five.
Joe Biden, look what Joe Biden's doing. Joe Biden's doing exceptionally well in primary contests. So it does. All of this has to be weighing on him. Plus, 8-9 years of age, yeah. All this weighing on him. And he's not, you know, he's not healthy. You look at Joe Biden, he exercises every day. You look how fit and trim he is. People are obsessed with how he walks.
His doctor told us why that happens.
Yeah.
And that's a condition he's had for a while.
Yeah.
Tingling in his feet. But also, he has a stutter, and he's had it for decades. Yeah. I think we're at a point now where for Trumpers on Fox News, for the MAGA right, for Donald Trump himself, they're at an inflection point for making fun of Joe Biden's age, for making it an issue. But it's actually coming back to haunt them in a really big way.
It is.
As Donald Trump gets on stage time and time again and has these weird moments that are scary.
You talk about wishful thinking. There it is. They wish that Donald Trump, they wish that he's just falling apart. 8-9 years. I'm about to read to you some commentary of an individual commenting on Donald Trump's appearance and how that he looks the same. He looks almost the same as he did 8 or 9 years ago, which is remarkable, given the fact that 4 of those years, he was president of the United States. I mean, people have done comparison shots of 4 or 8 years just to show how much the weight of the presidency ages someone. And yet you look at Donald Trump, and I guess he's aged a little bit. Well, we know he's aged a number of years, but he has pretty much the same look. This is from Gateway Pundit, Wayne Root. He wrote this. He's a broadcaster, and he writes a weekly column as well. It jumped out at us because of what we've written in America Under Attack, because of what we wrote just 2 days after they stole the presidency in 2020. We said Donald Trump is coming back. That's actually in the latest Trumpet magazine as well. We take you through that history, how that we've been saying this for the past 3.5 years. He is coming back. Root writes, something supernatural is happening with President Trump. We're all witnessing the Trump miracle. Something supernatural. There's a miraculous comeback that we're witnessing, he says. Others have talked, if they leave the spiritual element out of it, they talk about how this being possibly the greatest political comeback in U.S. history. It says here, I believe a miracle sent directly by God is happening right in front of us right now. You just have to open your eyes Now, according to the author of this article, it's gone viral. I mean, so this is a message. I mean, this is a message that resonates with people. That some of them now are acknowledging, I see the hand of God in this. President Trump is that miracle. Now, again, we would write on this just a little bit differently. But when you consider the Jeroboam prophecy, when you consider what it says in Amos 7, you do see the hand of God. It says, he's sometimes crude and rude. He offends so many. He angers so many. The powers that be want him stopped at any cost, even if they have to frame him by making up crimes that never happened. We're seeing a lot of evil together with this miraculous hand of God acting in powerful ways at the moment. And a lot of evil exposed at the same time. It says here, he faces so many indictments and trials. He faces over 700 years in prison. He's being fined hundreds of millions of dollars and banned from conducting business. If he doesn't spend the rest of his life in prison, he could end up losing his empire to bankruptcy. He's painted as Hitler and KKK and a white supremacist. We're told he's a threat to democracy. If elected, his critics say he will destroy America. Virtually everyone in power is against him. From the D.C. swamp, you know, that's where Nikki Haley won, by the way. The D.C. swamp to the deep state, to the military-industrial complex, to his own government agencies, the CIA, FBI, DOJ, NSA, who frame him and spy on him. We've seen all this happen. So much of it's chronicled in this book, America Under Attack, and what Donald Trump is going up against. To put it in prophetic terms, there's no helper. There's no one to help him. Well, maybe except for the Supreme Court, the kingdom's court, as it says over there in Amos 7. All the groups who hold the most wealth and power in America are out to stop Donald Trump. Wall Street, the mainstream media, Silicon Valley, the Bar Association, the Teachers Union, Hollywood, Madison Avenue, they all hate him. And he goes on and talks about all these world organizations that hate him as well. Women call him sexist. Black Democrats call him racist. Gays call him homophobic. Muslims call him Islamophobic because of his unswerving faith and support for Israel. But American Jews vote against him. He can't even get the Jewish vote. Yet, listen to this. After all of that, President Trump holds the lead over Joe Biden in virtually every national poll. Kane brought that out in his at his website the other day, as you saw. He's winning by 7 points in some of these swing states. Every poll. He leads in every battleground state that determines the election. He leads among Generation Z, the youngest voters. And in some polls, leads among Latino and black males. A recent poll showed Trump leading among Jewish voters in New York State. How is this possible? How is this happening? According to Root, it's biblical. It can't be explained. Well, it can be. That's what America Under Attack does. It actually can be explained. But he knows there's something supernatural here at work. He says it's biblical. It can't be explained. It's a real life miracle. It's a miracle. And he goes on in his article to give a couple of examples. One, a nephew of his who is in the field of medicine. He's working at a hospital in California. And he knows what it's like, even where he works, when the name Trump has come up in the last 7-8 years. You know, the groans, the eye rolls, or some with just visceral hatred. And just recently, according to Root, the nephew texted him and said, yeah, I was in the hospital and the news was on the TV and people could hear it and talked about Trump's victory in, I think it was Michigan or one of those primaries. And he fully expected the groans and the moans to happen again. In this case, this time, someone was actually there and started to cheer on Donald Trump. And before he knew it, everybody in the hospital facility was clapping and cheering. Once they found out that it was okay to do that, their true feelings came to the surface. Root mentions another individual example. Again, this is a tiny, tiny sampling, but still, you see it in the polling. This is a childhood friend of his who's deeply religious and also texted him recently. He said, "I don't believe Trump can be stopped. He's touched by God. He's touched by God. In my lifetime, I've never seen a human being on earth surrounded by this supernatural force. Trump doesn't even age like all the other presidents in history. He looks the same as 8 years ago, even after all that he's been through. He doesn't ever get down, even though he's taking deadly shots left and right. It says he's superhuman, unstoppable, unflappable. We're witnessing a miracle." It's pretty amazing that you're getting commentary, and that's not a lot, that really get into, you know, deep spiritual subjects. But just the fact that you have people commenting on this or writing about this now, after all that has happened over the last 3.5 years, after they stole the election, after they framed an insurrection or created it, after they framed so many Trump supporters, all of this lawfare, all of the impeachments, the attacks, the spying, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, Andy McCabe, Jim Comey, John Brennan, James Clapper. And of course, behind it all, the dear leader, Barack Hussein Obama. And yet still, he's managed to navigate his way all through all of that persecution. And he's the king of the hill right now, politically. This is from my father's article, the latest issue of the Trumpet Magazine, the March edition. If you don't subscribe to the Trumpet Magazine, make sure you go to our website, thetrumpet.com, and secure a one-year subscription, a free one-year subscription at that. There's no cost, no obligation. We just need your mailing address. Also, you can call our operators. You see the number there on the screen, 1-866-930-3024. So my father, the title of this, just to springboard off of Wayne Root's piece, the title of this is Donald Trump's Return in Bible Prophecy. So yeah, you actually can understand how this is happening, why there is supernatural force backing his candidacy this time around. His return in Bible prophecy, my father says here, leftists in the media are beside themselves. Globalist foreign leaders are fearful. Why? These people hate Trump and they want to fundamentally transform America. Yet it appears that one way or another, he is coming back. Fundamental transformation. Those are the dear leader's words. It was interesting that clip earlier we played of Jesse Waters. He said the same thing. You know, Hillary needed to appoint those three justices at the supreme level. That's how they're carrying out the fundamental transformation. They're not wanting to submit any of their ideas to a vote. These people are anti-democratic through and through, even as they go on and on, droning on and on about the threat to democracy. It says, as you'll hear later, Donald Trump says, "I'm not the threat to democracy. I'm a threat to their evil regime." This is extraordinary, my father writes. "But if you've been reading the Trumpet, you know I forecast this right after the 2020 election. When the media said Trump was finished, even when many conservatives lost hope, I published an article titled, 'Why Donald Trump Will Remain as America's President.' That was November 9th, I believe, 2020, and then it appeared in the Trumpet. We posted it online, and then it appeared in the Trumpet Magazine in January 2021. My father says here, "Granted, that article said Joe Biden would never take office, so I didn't get every detail right. Events took a different turn, and now I see there were important reasons for that. But I said Donald Trump would return to the U.S. presidency. Immediately after Biden was inaugurated, I wrote why I still believe Donald Trump is coming back." That was in the March 2021 Trumpet Magazine. It says here, referring to that article I wrote, I made a mistake and I don't want to act like there was no mistake. However, I want you to remember what I wrote in that article. I'm not running away from it. What happened in America at the inauguration is not the end of the story. There were quite a few people that just wanted to write us off, that wanted to write off Donald Trump. And my father said, that's not the end of the story. Listen, he's coming back. Not very many people were saying that in January, February, March of 2021. It says here, please read those articles, in these articles he referred to from back in 2021. This one I'm reading from is from March of 2024 in the Trumpet. It says here, these articles show why Bible prophecy can be trusted. Saying Trump would return was a bold claim, but if you understood prophecy, in a sense, it actually wasn't so bold, because when God says something will happen, we can trust him. You can take God at his word. Think about the prophecy, or rather the verse about God's prophecies in 2 Peter 1 and verse 19. Peter said this, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. We have a sure word of prophecy, and look at what it's pointing us to ultimately. The return of Jesus Christ to this earth, that's what the day is referring to there at the last part of 2 Peter 1 and verse 19. It's referring to the return of Christ and what we're to become as God beings, those of us in the first fruits calling, what we're to become at the return of Jesus Christ, at the first resurrection. But that vision, that hope, that light, that star, it should be illuminating from our Christian lives. Even today, our hope is in the resurrection, as Paul said. Our hope is in the return of Jesus Christ. Our hope goes far beyond the return of a political candidate. The temporary resurgence is exactly that. It's just going to be a temporary thing. Look at the destruction leveled at the United States and really around the world. Because of all of these corrupt communist actors. But the problems are deeper, much deeper than that. The problems are because of our sins. The curses are there because of the sins that we've committed. And God is trying to help us see that. And even with the return, the prophesied return, we do have a more sure word of prophecy. We know that one way or another, Donald Trump is coming back. But, and this is not a message that you hear from the MAGA movement, when he does come back, it's not going to permanently solve the problems of this world or of this nation. Far, far from it. He's not a communist. He's not an insurrectionist. He is a patriot. But America, look at the sickness in America today. God says it goes head to toe. My father wrote in that March 2024 piece, he said, never have there been such crazed efforts to destroy a man politically, and never have they backfired so spectacularly. That's because these people are fighting God. You see, there is a supernatural element to these events that we're witnessing. These people are fighting God. That is a battle they can never win. It says, when Donald Trump returns to the presidency, know that God prophesied it and brought it to pass. That's in the latest issue of the Trumpet magazine, March 2024, as I say. Make sure you subscribe to the Trumpet. You see how we get the words a little confused from time to time because we refer to Donald Trump as often as we do. And also, our magazine of what, 34 years, the Trumpet magazine. Listen to Donald Trump at his rally in Richmond over the weekend, clip 7.
The greatest movement in the history of our country And they say, always trying to demean, well, MAGA really represents 48% of the Republican Party. No, it represents 96% and maybe 100%. We're getting rid of the Romneys of the world. We want to get Romneys and those out.
We're getting rid of the Romneys of the world. The Trump movement, what did he say? The greatest movement in the history of our country. He represents the Republican Party. And Mitch McConnell and Ronna McDaniel, Mitt Romney's niece, by the way, they know it. They know, they see what's happening. Never mind what the Morning Meltdown says about Haley this or, yeah, Donald Trump's falling apart. No, Wayne Root is closer to the truth. He looks the same as he did 8 years ago. This is remarkable what's happening here. What a comeback. We're actually witnessing a miracle, aren't we? We sure are. One more clip from Donald Trump in Richmond, clip 8.
Joe Biden and his fascists that control him are the real threat to democracy in this country. They are a big threat, and they are corrupt. They are a big threat. He is the one. You know, they have like the standard line, Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. Some advertising agency wrote that down. I'm not a threat. I'm the one that's ending the threat to democracy.
There you go. He's not a threat. He's the one setting out to end the threat. And look at what he's had to withstand to save America temporarily. But look at what he's put himself through. He didn't have to do any of this. There is a spiritual dimension at play here. It's obvious. It should be. It's obvious. He was a billionaire before he ever decided to run for president. Before he ever decided to rerun for president. He's coming back, just as God says, and he's exposing the threat to democracy. It was revealed over the weekend that, well, I guess this was probably from Hunter's testimony before that House committee. The New York Post says, at long last, first son Hunter Biden affirmed during his Wednesday impeachment inquiry deposition that his father, Joe, was the big guy, referenced in an email about a business deal with a China state-linked energy firm that yielded millions for Biden family members and other associates more than three years after the Post broke the story, but rejected the notion that the president was ever penciled in for a 10% stake. So Hunter reluctantly admits that, yeah, he's the big guy. Oh, well, so you gave him a 10% cut. No, he never took any money. No. The wire transfers prove it. The money was going to every member of the Biden family, for the most part. The corruption, the corruption, the lawlessness, the crimes. They're right in plain view as well. Trump said Joe Biden and his fascists that control him are the real threat to democracy in this country. They're a big threat and they are corrupt. They are corrupt. They are the ones stealing and cheating and lying. They are the ones rigging elections. They are the ones with wide open border policies because they want the fundamental transformation. They are the ones coordinating the lawfare. And it's like my father said in the latest issue of the Trumpet magazine, every attempt to take this man out, it's ended up in a spectacular failure. And we're seeing that happen again, even today, 9-0. When has the Supreme Court come together in a 9-0 ruling to smack down the radical left's attack on democracy, on the United States, on Donald Trump? If you don't have America Under Attack, make sure you have that on your bookshelf. It's required reading. The 800 number, 1-866-930-3024. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thank you for joining us again on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.